epistle to be read for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, if we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, even if a person is caught doing something wrong, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. And if anyone thinks himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let everyone test his own work, and so he will have glory in himself only, and not in comparison with another. For each one will bear his own burden. And let him who is instructed in the word share all good things with his teacher. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For what man sows, so will man also reap. For he who sows in the flesh, from the flesh also will reap corruption. But he who sows in the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap life everlasting. And in doing good, let us not grow tired. For in due time we shall reap if we do not relax. Therefore, while we have time, let us do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd were with him. And as he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large gathering from the town was with her. And the Lord, seeing her, had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he went up and touched the stretcher, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he gave him to his mother. But fear seized upon all. And they began to glorify God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. First thing this morning, my beloved people, I think that we should all say a very special prayer for our beloved Miriam Roy, who is and has been quite sick. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Saint Joseph, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, there's really not much not anything in the bulletin today that I need to bring to it's important, but I mean that I should bring to your attention at this point. You can certainly figure this out and read this all for yourselves. Nothing in particular that I want to put any particular emphasis on. Of course, we are in a moment of holiday relaxation, and I certainly, and Father Francis certainly wishes you and your loved ones to have a holiday during these days, today and tomorrow, and it is perfectly legitimate, perfectly good for us to relax from time to time. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. It goes without saying, certainly you have noted it and noticed it, that we try our very best to place emphasis, serious emphasis, on the importance of the interior life. We speak of it all the time, and we present it all the time. We are in the process of speaking on the interior life that we should turn our attention to the importance of prayer. Today's bulletin emphasizes prayer. Now, what we must remember to give serious thinking on what we mean by prayer when we speak of prayer. Of course, it goes without saying that we each have certain formulas that we recite from memory or reading them or otherwise, and I do not discourage this. And each one of us has his own particular, her own particular set accumulation of prayers that each one has a fancy to and finds to be helpful. These we surely do not discourage. Let us not stop there, because the inclination is such, and you know yourselves, that when you are reading a prayer or reciting a prayer from memory, the prayer is certainly devotional, no question about that. But do we place in that prayer that we're reciting from memory, do we really place in that prayer the full strength which comes from our hearts? After all, what are we doing? We are addressing God, and we are addressing this saint or that saint or the angels or whoever. But it's always good. It's always good to place and to bring to our recollection practical everyday activities of ours. Suppose, just suppose, that you would come to meet me, for an example. And you wish to address me for whatever reason. You want something, probably. And so you approach me, and you read off from a piece of paper a formula of how much you think about me, and how wonderful you think I am, and how powerful I think you are, and how you can get from me all the things I want, and so therefore, I beg you, please, to remember my petition to Almighty God. Through Christ our Lord, I love you. Amen. And that's the end of that. Well, it's good for me to hear from you that you love me so much and that you think that I'm all that good and tremendous and everything else that goes with what you've just read to me. And I probably will enjoy it, but I've heard that already. I met you yesterday morning, and you had the same piece of paper in front of you, and you said that you read the same prayer to me yesterday morning, and the day before that, and the week before that, and the month before that, and the year before that. After a while, well, for goodness sake, can't you think of something different to say? You know? After all, are the saints not human? When you approach me, it would be ever so much nicer if you would be original. Because in your originality, you obviously will be coming to me from your heart. Though I will not discount the fact that when you read from the prayer, from the piece of paper, that you are not sincere. I'm not, don't misunderstand me, because certainly you are. We know that. But it is far more appealing, would it not be to you, if I approached you, or your sister would approach you, or your father would, and take off a piece of paper and start reading off a formula to you, how much they think about you. Or reading off a formula of how grateful they may be to you. It'd be a lot nicer, a lot more wonderful if you just out of the fullness of your heart would simply say, I sure do thank you for all you do for me. Now, isn't that full? Isn't that powerful? It was St. John Vianney who said, it's in the bulletin, I think this week, one of these bulletins, who said, prayer is so powerful, it's more powerful than God. Because prayer can make God say yes when he had already determined to say no. We read that in Scripture all the time, don't we? When the great prophets stood straight to God and in their prayer, and after all, prayer is a communication. It's a communication between two people who dearly, or two individuals who dearly love one another. And it is for us to give to God in our communication with him. First of all, to present to God our own weakness and our own infirmity. We are just finishing off, and I strongly urge you to please put the four parts, you have them all now, to put the four parts of that little discussion on the Pharisee and the publican. Don't anybody think that it's that I have invented the moon in that regard. And don't anybody think that everything that's in the bulletin is absolutely original and coming from the tremendous intelligence of the one who wrote it. In most cases, the one who wrote it was very good at the typewriter. But the thing is, the parable of the publican and the Pharisee is absolutely one, perhaps the most basic parable in the whole gospel of our Lord, outside of his death, of course. Because in there, in that story, which is beautiful in itself, in that story we find the sum and substance of our total attitude. In the one case, the one man went up there and you would expect him, he was brilliant and he was well-known and he was well-accepted and he was well-received and everything about him was absolutely, as far as the world goes, he was everything. And in his prayer, which was started out, as is brought out into the in the bulletin, it was a prayer of thanksgiving. It was not wrong for him to have said, I thank thee that thou have not made me, that thou have made me better than those around me. That was not entirely wrong for him to say that, because it's possible that God did, could and did make him better. But the man made comparisons. And in his comparisons, what was he doing? What did he do? He compared himself with the lower variety of mankind, with the sinners and the criminals and the adulterers and all this and that and the other. And he did not commit adultery, he did not steal, he did not this, he did not do the other things. That was very simple for him to have done that. Don't we do that when we make comparisons? I'm so glad that I'm not like so-and-so who has done so-and-so, or like somebody else who has done something else. I don't do those things. It's easy to make that comparison. But the comparison comes in where he made his mistake. He did not compare himself with those that were a cut above his own imperfection. He went below himself to make the comparison, not above himself. And this is what we have to watch. It's your saints that we have to look to. They are the ones that we want to become as. So all of his talking, all of his this, all of his that, meant absolutely nothing. Positively nothing. And all of his good works, all of his prayers, no doubt, all of his devotions, all of everything else that was absolutely sterling in the eyes of those who looked upon him, meant absolutely nothing. And it was all for nothing. Whereas the poor little man in the back of the church, for all the reasons you'll pick up from reading, simply made the simple statement, "Oh God, be merciful to me." That's all he said. The other man was reciting formulas. This man spoke from his heart. Interior. Every part of it. Interior. God does not look at what we do externally. Everything we do externally, no matter what it is, can be done for one of two reasons. It can be done for supernatural reasons, which is what it's supposed to be, or the same action can be done for what? For purely natural reasons, which carry with them no merit, except the goodwill and the praise of the world. So my beloved people, it is all in our interior activity that comes from our hearts. Not our minds, from our hearts. The tendency is, in too many cases, that we intellectualize the service of Almighty God. That's wrong. Because I can persuade myself to do most anything, but that doesn't mean that it comes from the fullness of, "Oh God, I love you." Those two or three little words have more power, more strength in them than we will ever be able to imagine. And so we turn interior as far as the quality of our prayer. It isn't in the amount of time we look at the difference. Look at the Pharisee who spent a long time. But who was he promoting but himself? And the other one in the back of the church, in the shadows, not even able to lift up his eyes toward heaven, simply the few four or five words that he spoke, and he was able to, he was one of those who made God say yes when he had already said no. Sometimes when we pray, we find that our prayers, or at least we think our prayer is not being listened to. It's being listened to. But Almighty God wants to put us to the test. And sometimes Almighty God wants us to suffer. Why should we expect to be dispensed from suffering? He didn't dispense his son. So why should he excuse us as we go through life, going through with the difficulties that are being constantly placed before us? So as we come, now the year now is wearing away very fast, and I don't want to necessarily put any focus on the difficulties that are at every turn today and the uncertainties of today, whatever they may be, and whatever they may be like. My beloved people, let us live from one day to the next, one day at a time. Let us pray for Almighty God to send his holy angels down to be with us and to protect us and to keep us from every harm and danger, whatever it may be. You read the papers as much as I do. You look at the news. Not as much as I do, because I don't even look at the papers. You listen to the news and so on, and actually you are more familiar with these things than we are. You know what's going on, and you know how horrible and horrendous it is, and how uncertain everything is today, more than any time ever before. So let us at least keep ourselves in a state of proper grace before Almighty God. Let us keep our own dispositions, our own attitudes of mind, and so on, correct and pleasing to Almighty God. And then St. Teresa said, I'm not quoting her directly because I don't remember the correct direct quotation, but she's talking about trust in God. And the kind of trust that we should have in God, of course, should be very, very interior. And she says something like this, that our trust in God could be such as that of a little child. Who can run into the arms of its father and go to sleep. That's a beautiful quotation. And it is the type of quotation, the type of word that should be our kind of trust, that when we're in the arms of our father, we have nothing to fear. And we can go to sleep knowing that we have nothing to fear, my beloved people.